Today, throughout the church, we celebrate the feast of Corpus Christi, the feast of the body and blood of the Lord. It is a feast that has its roots in the 13th century, 1263 to be precise. A priest from Prague was making his way on pilgrimage to Rome. This priest, a good priest, a pious priest, but he had his doubts about the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. He couldn't quite get his mind wrapped around the idea that the only begotten Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, could be contained within a piece of bread. He couldn't quite understand, and he had his doubts. Nonetheless, when on pilgrimage on the way to Rome, he reached the village of Bolsena in central Italy, he offered Mass at the church there. And as he reached the consecration, as he was saying the words of our Lord, the host began to bleed. Blood poured out onto his fingers and onto the corporal, the square cloth that is placed upon the altar during the celebration of Mass. The priest, of course, was stunned. And when he learned that Pope Urban IV was in nearby Orvieto, the priest made his way to Orvieto, confessed his difficulty in understanding the Eucharist before the Pope. The Pope gave him absolution and fraternal assurance, and called for the corporal, the bloody corporal, to be brought to Orvieto. And when Pope Urban IV saw the corporal, he declared that there would be a feast in the church, a universal feast of the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. And he commissioned a young Dominican friar named Thomas Aquinas to write the prayers for the Mass, prayers that include the sequence that we heard chanted today, prayers that include the hymns that are familiar to us, the Pange Lingua and the Tantum Ergo. We celebrate today this feast that was born of a doctrine that was hard to believe. It was hard to believe for that good priest in the 13th century. And it's a doctrine that can be hard to believe this very day. There have been a number of surveys conducted over the last decade or so that show something that's quite astounding. Multiple surveys taken in different ways show that only 30% of Catholics believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Only 30%. Now, I suppose some of this could be explained by a difficulty in understanding the question or what the question meant. I had a young person explain to me once, he said, "Father, I don't believe in the real presence. I don't believe," he said, "that if you took a drop of the precious blood and put it under a microscope, I do not believe that you would see corpuscles." And I told him, "I don't believe that either." because that's not what the church teaches. The church does not teach that the bread and the wine that become the body and blood of Christ are changed in the way that we perceive them. The color remains the same. The texture remains the same. The taste of the bread, the taste of the wine, the effect of the wine remains the same. The accidents remain the same. But the substance, that which is, changes. In accord with the words of Jesus, "This is my body, and this is my blood." The constant faith of the church from the time of the apostles until the Protestant Reformation, every Christian believed that the bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ. We profess as Catholics our undying and unflappable belief that Jesus' words are true. He does not say, "This is a sign of my body. This is a sign of my blood." He says, "This is." A student, a transfer student from Jordan, came to our country, and she found a residence with a family, a Catholic family. The transfer student was Muslim. And when the Muslim young lady found out that her host family was Catholic, she wanted to learn more about the Catholic faith. The family took her to the parish church, and her peer, the young lady who was her peer, gave a tour, pointing out all of the relevant features of the church, the baptismal font, the stations of the cross, the altar, and the tabernacle. And the host girl, the Catholic girl, explained that in the tabernacle is the bread and wine that had been consecrated at an earlier Mass, the bread and wine that had become the body and blood of our Lord, and that that was reserved in the tabernacle for the purpose of prayer, and so that the sacrament could be taken to the sick and those unable to make it to church. A very good explanation. The Muslim girl had a question. She said, you just said that that is the body and blood of Jesus in there, correct?" And the answer was, of course, yes. "And you believe that Jesus is God, correct?" And the answer, "Yes, yes, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God." The Muslim girl thought for quite some time before commenting, "If I believed that Allah was in that container, I would never leave this church. I would never leave him." Do we believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist? This is a question to be answered in the heart. This is not a pep rally question. This is one that we are meant to answer in our hearts and to express in how we act. I'm privileged to be able to see such strong faith in the real presence of Jesus right here at St. John's. I see that faith when I see so many people taking extra time to be in the presence of the Lord. When I see people coming to church early, not to visit with one another, but to visit with Him. And when I see people staying after, again, to express their thanks and their praise for all that they have experienced. That's a sign of belief in the real presence. I see evidence of your belief in the real presence in acts of reverence that I see, the genuflections, the quiet in church, coming forward to receive in a reverent fashion, and especially those who receive kneeling and on the tongue. While that is not required, it is certainly an act of reverence, one that expresses for the world to see a deep and abiding belief in the real presence. I experience your faith in the real presence in the confessional. When I hear the confessions of those who are guilty of mortal sin and wish to confess that sin in the sacrament so that they might then receive Holy Communion. Because when we are in a state of mortal sin, we do not receive Holy Communion until we have confessed that sin and received absolution, thereby making our heart a worthy place to receive so great a gift. And I see your faith in the real presence expressed in the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy that you perform. When your faith in the real presence of Jesus, in the body and blood of Christ, prompts you to leave church at the end of Mass as if on a mission to bring Him to the people you meet, to bring Him to them by your words and your actions and your attitude. These are all outstanding expressions of your faith in the real presence of Jesus. To strengthen your faith, and remember the man in the gospel who said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." To strengthen your faith in the real presence, a couple of suggestions. First of all, open the Bible to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the most Eucharistic chapter in the Bible. The chapter that contains the bread of life discourse. "I am the bread of life," Jesus says. This chapter is worth our attention. It's worth reading and rereading. And in fact, the church will give us this chapter as our gospel in late July and through the month of August. We will hear every verse of John chapter 6. See if studying that chapter doesn't help reinforce your belief in the real presence. The second thing is to spend time with Him. Spend time before the tabernacle, and spend time especially when the sacrament is exposed on the altar. We can pray anywhere, but when we pray before the Blessed Sacrament or before the exposed Holy Eucharist, we are praying before His real and substantial presence. We are in His midst, and He ministers to us. Take time to pray quietly before the Blessed Sacrament and see if that doesn't change the way you see life, the way you deal with problems, the way you deal with distractions. It's amazing what happens when we dare to place ourselves before the Son of God. And finally, if you wish to strengthen your faith in the real presence, you may always make a pilgrimage to Orvieto, where you will see behind glass the same corporal that caught the blood of the Lord that came from the host at Bolsena, the same blood that caused Pope Urban IV to institute this feast of Corpus Christi, this feast in which we praise and thank Almighty God for giving us such a wonderful gift as the ability to experience the Lord Jesus, his very body, his most precious blood, to experience him and to welcome him into our person by receiving him in Holy Communion, so that his body and blood might be more and more a part of our flesh and blood, so that we might live our lives in such a way as to make him present to others, by what we say, by what we do, and by the attitudes that we carry.